Christ our foundation. You know, in these end times, you're going to find many doctrines, many foundations, but there's only one Christian foundation. That's Christ himself. That's what the prophets foretold of. That's what the apostles taught. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught. Don't ever, ever let anyone fool you away from that with sayings of this and sayings of that that they cannot document in the Word of God. So you're living in that time when you want to... You know, this is the reason Paul taught on three levels. I'm going to use that example today because some people, well, I'm only interested in the deep study. Then you're a fool. Okay. You know why? Because you've already forgot the little ones. And the little ones may be somebody 60 years old that has never heard the real truth. And you're robbing them just for your own self-gratification that you want something exciting and different. There's nothing new under the sun. God's Word is the same today as it always has been. Do we know it all? Of course we don't. Anytime you think you know it all, you stop growing right there. You've had it, okay? Because the Word is pregnant and it keeps growing and expanding. And the more you study, the more you learn as God is able to touch your mind. So I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here he was talking to a group that they really haven't studied. Okay, so he's going to have to teach on two levels. And I want to draw upon that to teach them that you need to always, always remember the only way you can share with someone is to bring them from where they're with truth and with the Word. And that's what's important. That's what Christ blesses. That's why ministries grow. That remember the babes. Okay. And you must always teach, as Paul did, basically on three levels. That is to say, whichever level a person is, they're going to hear it on that level. Let's begin and we'll draw on that as we go. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians, and verse 1 reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." In other words, I've got to use an analogy or a likeness of something you live with so you can understand this. I could go right into the spiritual, but it would be over your head, is what he's telling them. Okay. So he uses an analogy. What does he use? Verse 2. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet how... Now are you able?" You know, if you couldn't digest it, it would probably turn you away from the Word if you went that deep into the spiritual as to what happened in the garden, as an example, and following through with the line of Kenites, the coming of the false Messiah in the end times. You've got to slip up on that. You've got to fish. You have to be gentle in teaching God's Word. Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal." In other words, you're thinking in the flesh and you're in the flesh. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" In other words, when you let little things upset you, you're not mature. When you let little things of this world just really wreck your day, you're not really mature. And so you need to grow up a little bit and don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? You can cut it. You're a can-do type person. And don't argue over little things. It's a waste of time. Absolutely. Especially traditions of men that make void the Word of God. What a waste. Verse 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and are you not carnal?" In other words, I'm this denomination, and I'm that denomination, and don't talk to him, he's of that denomination. How many Christs do we have? Okay. We have one Christ, and that foundation should be your foundation. And if someone else teaches Christ, then fine. If they teach Antichrist, that's not fine. But you have to be able to discern and know the difference. Okay. Verse 5. Now, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? And of course, Paul is the one doing the talking here. But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. In other words, you followed that man. Don't follow man, follow the Word of God. Okay. For it is the Word of God that makes the difference. It is our Heavenly Father that is your foundation. Don't ever let... You know what denomination means? It means division. Don't let anyone divide you from the Word of God. And never talk against any church. Okay. That's no good. It's a waste of time. Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, Apollos was a student of the Old Testament. I mean, he could quote her inside out, okay? But he was not a follower of Christ until he was converted. And then, boy, what a teacher. Okay. But one plants, one waters, one sows. What difference does it make? It's the Word of God. Man still can't take credit for it. You got it? Only our Father can. Verse 7. So then, verse 6, I want to read it again. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so it is that He does. Okay. Only He can enlighten minds. You can't. You can talk till you're blue in the face, but until you get with the Word and let God lead you, you're going to spin your wheels. Okay. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God gets the credit. Okay. He's our Father. He should have the credit. Well, it's His Word. We only teach it. Men and women only teach the Word. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. In other words, God takes care of you. He blesses you. When you plant those seeds, I don't care who you are, what age you are, when you have the truth and you share that truth in a gentle way, on the level that if it's milk, then it's milk. Let one absorb the milk that can digest it, and when they come into the meat, let them have meat that can digest it, okay? You're the judge, and God judges you. That is to say, you're the judge of how far to go and so forth. Discernment, probably a better word. Verse 9, for we are laborers, we're co-workers together with God. What a thought. Think about that. Co-workers with God, the Heavenly Father. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The many-membered body that has the truth is the building of God, the truth temple, especially in these end times. It's the temple that God will never forsake, and He will never allow anyone to destroy it. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, and Paul was a master builder, I have laid the foundation. This is the word we wanted to come to. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. In other words, our foundation is Christ. Don't let anybody build on Christ except the truth, the Word of God. Now, Paul was a master builder. Even Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 would make note of how wise and how the depths that Paul could go to. That even the learned wrestled to understand the in-depth teaching of Paul. He's in-depth here if you're attuned to it. You have to really be attuned to it. Or if you're in the milk, you're hearing it on that level. Okay. But it still stands to reason. Paul was a master builder. You may be a builder, but he's the master builder. But you are the workman that God touches and leads, guides, and directs. Always make sure you know what you're sharing. If it is of the truth, and so it is. And verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, He is our foundation. And that foundation can never change. It's our rock. It's a rock that will enable you. It's a rock that will see you through. It's a rock that you can stand on, and even when the end time comes and the great shaking takes place, as we're going to cover in this lecture, you're on solid ground. Or as Jesus would tell you in a parable, don't build your house on sand. It'll wash away. Build it on the rock, and Christ is that rock. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, in other words, how do your work stack up? Is it golden? Golden can be the simplicity to a child that is written in the Word. That can be pure gold, right to the truth, right to the Word. It doesn't have to be some great, magnificent thing that man has dreamed. But the simple truth is gold. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now here Paul goes really to the depth, if you're attuned to that. Do you know what the fourth vial is in the book of Revelation? It's from the sun, and it's fire, and God is a consuming fire. And the Holy Spirit itself touches the true teachers of God's Word, whereby that fire is a truth that comforts and warms. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we covered this at the last Passover concerning the fourth vial, or the vials. So you want to really pay attention. See, Paul goes all the way there. He lets you know why Jesus would say in that statement, I come not to bring peace, but a fire, and if I find it already kindled, how happy I will be. But you have to know what kind of fire you're kindling. Well, what is that fire? Well, God is a consuming fire. It's the simple truth of God's Word. It's power. And God blesses those that teach it. God blesses those that share it. You don't even have to necessarily teach it, but share it with someone that's in need, that he needs to hear that word. And God blesses that, gives you peace of mind and understanding, and you become a fellow worker in the vineyard of Almighty God, especially in these end times. That is the foundation, and that foundation is sure and it's solid. That foundation is Christ. Christ is our foundation. Don't put anything that doesn't belong on it there. Always check it out. Always know what you're placing on that foundation. Make sure it's true to the Word of God. And so it is that every man's work shall be made manifest, for it's going to be tested by fire. 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You get what you got coming all at one time, okay? Good, bad, or ugly, sorry, that's the way the old cookie crumbles, all right? I hope yours is good. It's real simple. Simply do it God's way, and you've got blessings. You don't have to wait for them till then. You can have them today. 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. 16 to complete. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That is the fire. Okay. That is that vial of the fourth trump that gives special powers and blessings to those that adhere and build to the Word of God. What depth and what understanding, and yet at the same time, milk. For one that has not ears to hear the deeper message, Paul teaching on all those levels at one time, to bring that foundation into view that we build upon, and how precious a foundation it is. Again, when you're quoting or even teaching, don't put anything on that foundation that doesn't belong there. It'll burn. You'll answer for it. Doesn't belong here. Malarkey. Don't let anyone give you malarkey and claim it's on the foundation of Jesus Christ if Christ didn't teach it. Okay. Well, how can I know? Read the Word of God. Okay. It doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun, as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, telling you how to be happy in a flesh body. Nothing new under the sun. What goes around comes around. So there's really no surprises unless you surprise yourself. So keep it simple for those who need it simple, and give depth to those who need depth. But it's best if you teach, as Paul did, all at the same time. And then you'll really grow. Do you know why you'll really grow? Because God will bless it. And people will hear that truth. And one will reach another, and soon it just boomerangs. The real Word of God in the simplicity in which Christ, our foundation, brought it forth. Okay, let's go, if we may, to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. Again, the simplicity of Paul's teaching as he would address Timothy to bring forth that word. Chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And you can be. Let me tell you something. When you read the word, Christianity is being shunned by many, talked down by many. We have cults that are trying to make Christianity even unpopular. And I call them cults because that's what they are. And they're not just some little thing over in a corner. Okay. But don't you ever be ashamed of Christianity. Christianity has saved the world. Okay. Why? Because Christ has saved the world. Christian armies have brought freedom to many nations, and we make no apology for it, period. So always be proud as a Christian. Okay, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Don't cast your pearls before swine, okay? To faithful people, ears that hear, that want to hear truth, okay, share with them. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No, it's not going to be a rose garden. They crucified Christ, but he has promised he'll take care of you when you use common sense, and he will. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. In other words, when the real truth is before you, don't you ever let your little personal hang-ups and problems pull you away from the Word of God. Or you're not a good soldier. You're not disciplined. Okay. Now, you know, it's too bad. I shouldn't say this probably. I'm already sorry I'm saying it. It's too bad that everybody doesn't have to go through a Marine boot camp to learn the meaning of discipline. Because discipline, that same discipline works in Christianity and it does in everyday life. Okay. It's how to discipline yourself. And certainly, don't let your own little personal life get in the way of the largest movement that has ever been. That's our foundation, which is to say Jesus Christ. You stay the course, and you keep that gospel armor on and in place. And don't you let anything deter you. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? I repeat, lawfully. Let everything you do be lawful. Okay. And sometimes we like to do things to the enemy that might not be exactly lawful. You do it lawfully, okay? And then pray for them, okay? Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. That's God's promise to you that if you labor, he's going to see that you have first fruits. He's going to take care of you. Hey, I know that to be a true statement. But you've got to have faith and belief to do it and enjoy the proceeds. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You think and you reflect on this. You just stop a moment. You let your mind absorb what I've said, is what he's saying. Live discipline. Don't wait. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Make every shot count. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In other words, here he goes to the depth of bringing the seed line, the house of Israel, the true house of Israel, and the true king of Israel. The key that opens doors that no man can shut and shuts doors that no man can open. That is to say, the real truth of who the true Christ is and not the fake. Okay. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I'm here in prison, Paul says, but the word of God is not, and it never shall be. Okay. The word of God is always present, is there for you. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You want to cash in on that eternal glory, my friend. It may be a little tough at times, but you don't have to worry. You're not going in over your ankles. Right? You know why? God's going to take care of you if you use common sense. When you wade right in there, he'll always see you through. That's his promise. It is a fateful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If you believe that he died and rose again from the dead, then you have that victory, okay? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. This is why it is so dangerous to build other than the true Christ on that foundation. You be swayed by the Antichrist, and guess what you have in heaven? Zippo. Nothing. You've been fooled. And do you know something? It goes much harder for one that knows better. You know what the unpardonable sin is. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He never will, never has. The word of God is always true and to the point. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, don't argue or talk a bunch of nonsense in sharing truth. Go directly to the point. Keep it simple on the level they're able to understand and can digest. And you put it out. Don't, well, I had this little thought the other day that this star aligns with that star and this other star, and this person you're trying to tell about Christ and the foundation is saying, this is a fruitcake. I've got a nutcase on my hand here. You're going to lose them, even though that star might be a sign. You've got to use a little judgment. And to go into semantics of that nature and lose a soul, you're going to account for it. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does rightly dividing the word of truth mean? It means to pay attention. Who was it written to? Why was it written? What is it for? What is it about? And again, the four W's. What, who, when, and where. Okay. Keep that word divided. Is it written to Israel or is it written to Gentiles? God loves them all. They're all his children. But it applies to all. Okay. His plan is written and you must understand. But shun for vain and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In other words, we're in that generation, and that's why I'm delivering this lecture. You're going to hear more and more different doctrines and leanings. This is a Christian nation. It was founded a Christian nation. It will always be a Christian nation, though there are other religions here. It is by large and mass part Christian, of this denomination or the other, but they all love the Lord, basically. And that's not going to change, but you're going to hear many philosophies. But don't you dare move from our foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You get these people today. We're already in the millennium. That's a fruitcake, okay? You know good and well we're not in the millennium, because things have to come to pass that yet that have not. Okay. And certainly the Antichrist must appear de facto on earth, and many other things in the events that consummate the end of this age. But you get nutcases like this, and people follow them. I should make it, well, we got a new religion here. There's nothing new under the sun. Nevertheless, the foundation, this is why we came here, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't let nonsense pull you away from the true foundation. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. God does that judging. If any man therefore purge himself from these persons, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so it is. That's our foundation, beloved. That's what true Christianity is about. Yet, Paul, on the simplicity of using that that is natural as a builder building a house, builds a solid foundation, not on the sand, hoping that spiritually they can see this and understand it, and many people can, using that analogy. And then he says, stop and reason. Think it through. Don't, you know, when you're dealing with nonsense, do you think that's from God? And can you recognize nonsense when you hear it? When you're studied in God's Word and you're familiar with how it flows, and all of a sudden you hear all this vain babblings, you can't recognize it, you should be able to, then get away from that person. Okay. You don't want anything to do with that. You have a foundation that is sure. It is sealed. Sealed with what? This word that does not change. This word that properly interpreted always guides, leads, directs, but most of all it brings blessings to those that follow it. Okay, let's go, if we may, to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2. This is basically on the same lines, only go a little deeper into it. Pick it up, if we may, with verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. This is before, when you were outside of God's house, outside of Christ's teachings, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a sad state of affairs, but do you know that a lot of people put themselves there willingly? I don't care anything about the Bible. I don't care anything about God. They throw their wealth away They throw their blessings away. God's not going to bless you with that attitude. You're going to have one miserable, confused, mixed up life. Everything's going to fall apart on you. And you're going to say, well, that was just an accident. Oh, yeah, just an accident. Your Father loves you. He created you for a reason. Well, why? Well, because He loves you. Last verse of Revelation chapter 4, God created all things for His pleasure. Not for His trouble, not to give Him trouble, not to give Him grief, not to cause Him to shed tears, but for His pleasure. Verse 13, and now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made high by the blood of Christ. He opened that gate. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In other words, salvation abounds and salvation is there and salvation should be taught. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so maketh peace. Many people ignorant of the manuscripts have trouble here. They're going to come along then and they're going to say, it's written right there in the New Testament that God destroyed the law. Do you think that ordinances are law? You don't know the difference between statutes, ordinances, and the law? Then you're in a heap of hurt, friend. This is blood rituals. They were done away with Christ's blood on the cross. The law, it's still illegal to rob a bank, to steal. It's still illegal to murder. But don't ever fall into that trap of ignorance, okay? Always check the Word out. Verse 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, when you're on that foundation, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. To Israel and to those that never heard of Israel. He opened that gate and made it possible to all that would hear. That's why it's important when you plant seeds. Very important. Not everybody has a chance to hear. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's to say the Holy Spirit. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Why? You become a part in Christ, okay? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. That's what you're built upon. Don't ever let anyone pull you away from that or you're being hurt badly. Very bad. The prophets and the apostles were given the Word of God for your edification, to better you, so that you could find happiness in these flesh bodies, so that you could be a servant, a willing soldier of Christ, pleasing Him, serving Him. Verse 21, in whom all the building framed together joined unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also, in whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. Do you realize that the Spirit lives with you when you allow it, when you ask Him, when you follow Him? That's your foundation. It's solid. You know, that word in the Greek, foundation, means laid out flat, prone, okay? Not standing up like you're something special, but right flat with the ground, a foundation that is immovable, that can't be harmed. It's thymelidos, and what a fantastic word it is. Okay, I want to go to the book of Hebrews. There's a great shaking coming. Hebrews chapter 12. You're all familiar with this very chapter. This goes even to the great Song of Moses, and don't go there, in in Deuteronomy 32, that tells of our rock, not their rock that can be shaken, but our rock that cannot be shaken. Chapter 12, the great book of Hebrews, Let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 25. You're all familiar with this chapter. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's to say, Christ. Don't you dare turn away from him. You listen to him. He's our foundation. Whose voice then shook the earth. That's a catapult. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. I'm going to shake the bad ones out of heaven and out of earth also. Where are you going to be? Where is your foundation? Verse 27, and this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of the things that are made, created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Where are you going to be, friend? You want to be on the foundation that will not shake. This is spiritual. And God, is through the Son, is that foundation. That time is coming. We're getting close to it. And you want to be prepared. Be on the foundation, which is to say the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't ever let some man deceive you or pull you away from this word. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. That fear is reverence. It means love also, okay? Why? Verse 29, for God is a consuming fire. And God is a consuming fire. But it's not a fire that burns you when you love him. For that fire is the Holy Spirit. And it warms your heart. When he touches you, when he lifts you, you feel that warmth. And to Satan and his crowd, it burns them. They can't cut it. They can't handle it. This is why many come down on Christianity in the end times. They're very uncomfortable with it. Why? It burns them. But you're on that foundation, that platform. You stay there. In closing, one more scripture. Matthew chapter 16 comes to mind here. Matthew chapter 16. I'll tell you which verse here in just a moment. We'll pick it up with 16. 16:16, Matthew, let's listen to it. And Simon Peter answering said, Christ said, who do they say I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, and the Son of the living God. Do you know what Jesus answered? Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. This means son of the dove, okay? For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He caused you to say that. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Peter is Petra in the Greek, and it means rock, okay? But it is a movable rock. I want you to understand, Christ is the rock that's immovable. Peter is Petra, which can be moved, okay? Got it? Okay, here we go. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is Lot, my friend. And that rock that it's built upon is the rock that is immovable, which is to say our foundation, which is to say Jesus Christ. And he promises you that the gates of hell cannot penetrate, cannot hinder, cannot stop. And you have nothing to worry about as long as you stay in that word and on that foundation. And never, never be guilty of trying to add something on that foundation that doesn't belong. Not healthy, my friend, spiritually or otherwise. Verse 19 to complete the lecture. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is to say the very truth itself. When he gives you that key is the truth. It is the very truth itself that is on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And God's, what he's really saying here, I'm going to back you up. That's my promise. That hell can't have anything to do with you. As long as, but you've got to use common sense, and you've got to keep that rock clean of trash, of false teachings. God won't bless you if you put something false on that all that flat foundation. So always keep it in his way. Well, what way is that? Well, Christ is the way. But the way of the apostles and the prophets. You know, we're not going to turn there because I'm closing out. But if you were to turn to Revelation chapter 21, it mentions foundations again there. You know who the foundations are? 12 apostles. So you want to follow the apostles. That's the teaching of God's Word, the very teachings of Christ himself on our foundation. See that no one robs you of the blessings and happiness that God brings to those that follow him. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the foundation, Jesus Christ, thy Son, who was crucified for our salvation, Father, that this world could find that salvation. Thank you for using these, Father. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen, amen.
His love.